This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Louisiana Republican Senator David Vitter. We've asked him to join us to offer his thoughts on the health care debate, which officially opened this week in the U.S. Senate, following that, of course, dramatic vote to start debate a couple of weeks ago. And Senator, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you, Greg, for the invite.
What have we seen so far in this debate that you think is instructive in determining how this vote's likely to go? We know that the Democrats got just enough votes to start the debate, but apparently they don't have enough to end it right now. Do you sense the momentum going your way or the majority's way in terms of where the votes are lining up on the undecideds?
Well, I honestly think that's up in the air. First of all, you're certainly right that although Harry Reid got 60 votes to start the debate, that is a very different proposition, a much easier task than getting 60 votes to essentially pass the bill. I mean, formally it's to end the debate, but it'll be whether it can get 60 votes on the bill. And he does not right now have 60 votes on the bill. I really think how this goes is up to the American people. And I'll simplify it for you. If December heats up and feels like August in terms of the outpouring of concern and opposition that we saw during the August recess when we're having all those town hall meetings, if December feels like August, we will stop this bad bill. If it doesn't, if people either resign themselves to this, think, well, it's clearly going to pass, or go Christmas shopping and tune out, then we're likely to get something really bad shoved down our throats.
From what you're hearing from your colleagues, especially on the Democratic side, are most of them planning to hold public forums during this holiday break or not?
No, I think they want to avoid that, quite frankly, at all costs. I don't think they'll make the mistake of August again in terms of hosting town hall meetings, but certainly a lot of conservatives are going to do that for them. In fact, I'm working on a town hall meeting right now in Louisiana. Obviously, Mary Landrieu represents Louisiana in the U.S. Senate, just as I do, in Louisiana with a couple of my colleagues, John Barrasso and John McCain.
Let me follow up on what point you just made there before we get into some of the points that have been made in debate this week, and that's with your Louisiana colleague Mary Landrieu. There's a provision in the bill, as you know, that some conservative critics call the Louisiana Purchase, which is essentially emergency relief aid to the tune of about $300 million for your state because it was hit by, of course, Hurricane Katrina back in 2005. What do you make of that? How's it playing back in Louisiana that might have been the reason she voted to allow the debate to go forward?
It's not playing very well. People understand the historic national significance of this health care overhaul, and they don't want any vote bought or sold for any amount of money, so it's not playing very well. I think Mary, quite frankly, is looking for a reason to vote for the bill, and this is her attempt to do that, but I don't think it's playing very well.
One of the most newsworthy appearances on the Senate floor this week apparently came from the Finance Committee Chairman Max Baucus, who made a couple of claims that I know your party disagrees with. I want to get your thoughts on them. First of all, he says that reports that the Democratic bill would cut Medicare and raise taxes are both incorrect. What details can you provide to clarify what it will do to folks' tax rates and for those Medicare recipients?
Well, it's just a fact that there is a $460 billion cut to Medicare in the bill, almost $500 billion cut to Medicare. Not to keep any savings in Medicare to shore it up, because we do need to save Medicare. It's going bankrupt to begin with, but to take out of Medicare to pay for brand new stuff. That is an absolute fact. Democrats are desperately trying to basically cover that up, but they can't get around that fact. It's also an absolute fact that there are major tax increases in the bill, including ones that will hit families that certainly earn below $250,000 a year in direct contravention to President Obama's campaign pledge that he didn't just make once or twice, but over and over and over again in very clear terms. In fact, that issue was really highlighted during the Finance Committee discussion because Republicans had an amendment to take out of his bill any tax increase that would hit families in that income category. He not only led opposition to that amendment, but said that would gut the bill and that would prevent their style of health care reform. And to me, that says it all.
Senator, obviously this debate's been going on for months. You mentioned the heated town hall sessions in August. Then we had the president's address to Congress in early September, and it's really been flaring up again ever since that time. So given all that's already been discussed, the cost, the potential government control, the public option or no public option, what the provisions would be on taxpayer funding for abortions and all that, what argument is still resonating out there, do you think, most for the American people on this issue?
Well, there are a bunch of arguments. One is that this is just a huge Washington power grab. And, you know, the American people are connecting the dots. And this isn't being pushed in a vacuum. This is after the government takeover of banks and insurance companies and car companies. And this would be potentially one-sixth of the U.S. economy. So folks are really concerned about that enormous growth of federal government power and spending and debt. And folks are connecting the dots. Also, certainly conservatives and folks in my state of Louisiana are very concerned about the abortion issue. And that is not properly addressed in the Reid bill. The underlying Reid bill right now on the Senate floor would allow for the first time ever taxpayer funding of abortions. It does not have anything like the STUPAC language over in the House side. And certainly I'm working with other pro-life members to add that sort of language, but that's a huge issue as well.
Senator, there were other reports online this week that suggested that a close scrutiny of this more than 2,000 pages in the Reid bill gives an inordinate amount of power to the Secretary of Health and Human Services, in this case Kathleen Sebelius, but obviously
right.
others
right.
In perpetuity.
Right.
What can you tell us about that in specificity?
Well, that's true. I mean, there are literally hundreds of references giving the Secretary great power and great discretion. There are other ways that power is moved away from Congress, which is the people's representative, to unnamed bureaucrats. That's really dangerous, and that's part of this power grab I'm talking about.
Last question before we let you go, Senator. It's on a different subject, but one you and I have talked
sure.
about in the past, and that's the climate change debate. And obviously,
right.
there's a lot of talk right now about these emails and other data
right.
That were taken out of the Climate Research Institute over in England and suggest that there was a great deal of a deception in some of the arguments in favor of major climate change action. How do you think that changes the debate? What's going to be the reaction in Congress, do you think?
Well, first of all, even before that, I think the debate has been shifting enormously in our conservative direction. I think that's been happening for months. But this on top of it is going to add fuel to that fire and that push. And so I think the entire landscape has changed dramatically in the last year on climate change, so much so that I feel confident that no cap and tax proposal will pass this Congress, meaning either this year or next calendar year.
We'll certainly keep watching that debate as well. Senator, always a great pleasure to have you with us. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, Greg. Enjoyed it.
Thank you, Sarah. Louisiana Senator David Vitter. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. Great as always, sir. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Greg.
You
Bye-bye.
Bet. Have a great day.